Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 80. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And the summer movie season has begun. And we both went and saw what I'm guessing is going to be one of the bigger movies of the summer, if not the biggest. Captain America, Civil War. Chris, I'm putting this job on you.
You want me to explain it?
That might take all episode.
Yeah. if you've watched any of the preceding, I believe it's 11 Marvel films now, this is kind of like the culmination of that. They all tie together. Let's see. How to kind of start here. It is the third Captain America movie, but it might as well be an Avengers movie because there's a lot of Avengers in this movie. And it centers around this idea that the Avengers have been operating without kind of any boundaries, like no oversight. And, they've destroyed some shit. They destroyed New York. They have they've wrecked an entire country, I believe, in the Avengers 2. If you go out to the individual movies, lots of bad shit has happened throughout the world since the superheroes have kind of started coming out of the woodwork. And I guess Tony Stark, who is Iron Man, he kind of gets confronted. He's been dealing with this for a while now, actually, since after the Avengers. This tied into Iron Man 3 and how he felt about, in Age of Ultron, which actually, his trying to make good on the bad that they have caused, caused him to create Ultron and create more problems. He's kind of like, hey, somebody needs to tell us when we can and can't do shit. We just can't keep free reign going around destroying shit. And Captain America's like, hey, no. And then they fight.
Yeah, I guess that's the short of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's more nuance to it, certainly. There's a lot of different, plot threads.
Yeah, there is. I mean, definitely some other big B and C plots probably.
Yeah. There's I guess the right before kind of Tony makes this decision to kind of side with oversight, he is giving this demonstration of some new technology he's created. It's like a VR thing, like a room size VR thing, and he's reliving the last moments when he saw his parents. And that their death ties in very much to this. And the Winter Soldier's in it. And
Black Panther origin, basically, too.
Yeah, it's basically the origin story for Black Panther, which I thought was decent.
It ties strongly into the main
plot,
I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of plot here. We ain't gonna be able to.
There's no way of touching it all, and some of it is just, who the hell cares? I really came away going, I don't whatever. The best parts of the movie to me were Ant-Man and Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, by far. I guess the one thing I'd say about the plot is I would recommend going back and rewatching Winter Soldier right before it. I was a little lost in the first hour, and the movie does, if you go in on its own, say you haven't seen all these movies, you might piece it together at some point, like right. I did. I'd say rewatch Winter Soldier, and Winter Soldier is a good movie, so do that.
Sure. Yeah.
So how did you feel about this one, Chris?
I liked it. It was entertaining.
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit. I found the first hour so a little slow, and the movie's long, I guess that, and then the fact that I was lost a little bit. Those are about the only real complaints I would really have about it. It's pretty fantastic once it gets going.
Pretty long. It's a 2.5 hour movie, so. Yeah, it's fun. There's some great set pieces. Actually, all the set pieces are pretty fantastic.
There's a big fight at an airport where it's basically like the title fight of the movie. You get the two teams. There's like Team Captain America, Team Iron Man, and all the heroes that they gathered on each side. It's a really fun, like, well done fight. Really funny too. Like, lots of one-liners and funny stuff happening in it. Like, that part, like, was firing on all cylinders and really working. Everyone in the theater was laughing really hard at it. And it featured the best parts of the movie, which you already touched on, in my opinion, were Spider-Man and Ant-Man. They're great. Like Ant-Man, I just loved that, like, nobody knew who he was. They're just like, who the hell is this guy? And he was just, like, so happy to be there, like, to be recruited by them. And he's really awesome in the fight. I don't know if we could spoil this movie or not. I feel like everyone has seen it at this point, but he does some cool stuff. He turns into Giant Man, I guess it's called, or whatever. I don't know
Sure.
if.
Not sure what the actual terminology for him is. But yeah, Ant-Man has a side power that I guess, like, Ant-Man turns into an ant, like ant-sized guy, but he can also go the other way as well and turn his mass incredibly big and grow like the size of a building.
I like too when he went inside Tony Stark's suit and he's like, are there voices in my head?
It's like, it's your conscience. I know we
Yeah.
haven't talked in a while.
He's great, man. I almost wish there was like more of him. And Spider-Man, what little we get of him, I loved. Like, I
It's the
fucking loved
best.
it.
I think it's the best film version of Spider-Man we've ever gotten.
I don't think it's even close. I liked Tobey Maguire back in the day, but this is like, it's just spot on. Like, it's great because he looks like a little kid, you know?
Yeah, I mean, definitely he's like 21 or something like that, but
He looks like he's like 15,
yeah,
16 years
which
old.
is, yeah, he's supposed to be like kind of middle round of high school, so yeah, he comes off fantastic. And
I
Marissa
can't.
Tomei is Aunt May.
Are we getting old? Like, what's going on? She was a sex symbol.
Right?
Right? I was
Yeah.
like, no, this is wrong. Like, they kind of do, like, I think Tony Stark does kind of mention that Aunt May's hot or something, though.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? Yeah. God, I love that scene between them. And I wanted more of Spider-Man, and I'm really excited to see.
It was just there was just like this, and it's something that I mean, it was one of the criticisms of Batman vs Superman is that it's like this kind of dour like look, but and like Spider-Man is this giant ray of sunshine throughout the entire thing. Like these two very good friends are fighting over like basically political ideology, and then there's Spider-Man who's just like an Ant-Man who are just like happy to be there, like and cracking jokes and having a great time. There's this one part where I mean we talked about Giant Man, but Spider-Man is like swinging around him, and I'm like he's totally doing Empire Strikes Back, and then like he calls it out like straight out. Like, you
Yeah.
guys ever seen that really old movie Empire Strikes Back?
That really old movie. I mean, yeah. Is it like, and then I think from there on the movie's pretty great. Like, I really liked too what they did with the villain in this movie. Very clever twist, I thought. I don't know how believable or anything that it is, but again,
It's a little outlandish, like,
it's
but
like very convoluted what this
yeah.
villain's trying to accomplish, but it also, makes it a smaller story in the end, which is good. And it leads to another fight between Iron Man and Captain America. I don't know. Other than the fact that I felt it was super long, I think that they did juggle everything about as well as you could with this much material in there.
Sure.
The movie's a fun time, and yeah, all the set pieces are great. I really enjoyed it. I probably will see it again. I actually went and watched Winter Soldier after that. That's how much I enjoyed it. So I'm coming off with a very positive recommend on this. I know most people have probably seen it already, but If you haven't.
If you haven't.
It's a good one. It's definitely a good summer movie. I'm going with a 4 on it.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I think 4 is a fair score for this. Like, we touched on some of its weaknesses, it being a little bit long and having kind of a long slog opening. But once it gets going, like, and you start to kind of see the characters interact with each other, like, Vision is great. Like, I mean, there's everybody is fantastic in it. Like, Scarlet Witch is great. Hawkeye, like, I like that coming off this movie, they talked about Black Widow possibly getting her own movie. It's like, it's about fucking time, because she is...
She's been in all the movies.
And she might be the best thing, like, about them, like, as a major character. Like she may be better than Cap and Tony and them in these movies. Like,
plus, it's Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
I always take more of her.
There's that, too. Yeah, and I mean, obviously, Robert Downey Jr., always great as Tony Stark. His character just keeps, like, it's almost like this is the Tony Stark saga, like, the entire thing, like, yeah. Because his character is probably advanced the most, like, out of all the films, so.
He's been in, you know, basically, this universe started with
Iron Man. Started with Iron Man, yeah.
So, it's, yeah, I guess I don't really have much more to say about it other than that I was very pleased by it. I do think it's interesting how similar kind of the plots are between this and Batman versus Superman.
Oh, yeah. They're very, very close. Like, I mean, in this one, you know, Iron Man is basically taking a Batman stance and, like, of, hey, somebody needs to put you in check. And
yeah.
I don't know if Cap is taking Superman's stance of, I don't need, like, he was like, I shouldn't be put in check. We shouldn't be put in check. We can't do the good we need. Like, and then at the end, it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe that might be my biggest gripe about it is, like, at the end, it's like, everything's kind of washed clean. Like,
The stakes are kind of low. Like, even in the big fight, like, it's like these guys don't really want to hurt each other, just right. Trying to stop each other. I think that's okay, though. I think I'm okay with that. Like, I don't want them wanting to kill each other.
No, really. They're good friends, you know? It was just like, all right, well, they tied a nice bow on it at the end, and it's like, and, like, they'll have to be a little bit of cleanup the next time, like, with whatever the next Avengers movie is or whatever, but... It won't take long. Like, they offered themselves a really clear out and a way to get everybody back together for the next movie, so.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little fallout. One of them gets injured pretty bad, but... Yeah, I mean, other than that, it's... Yeah, it kind of... Everything kind of evens out at the end. But I liked it, and I did like what they did with the villain and stuff, and it was just... I'm not, like, a huge fan of, like, especially the Avengers movies, where similarly, like, they're too long, they're crammed with too much. I think this is better than the two Avengers movies.
Yeah, I think this is the best Avengers movie.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, they focus, while there's a lot of different characters, there is this very clear focus on Tony and Cap, and their ideologies and their personal stories, as opposed to with the Avengers, it's like, let's try and cram everything into 2.5 hours and have this big world killing villain. And yeah, everything is like super high stakes because the world's always going to end when the Avengers are involved.
So. I will say, I think that I like the Winter Soldier a little bit more, but at the same time, the Winter Soldier doesn't have Spider-Man, doesn't have Ant-Man. It doesn't have, like, just the pure payoff and the craziness that this does. So
yeah, I think The Winter Soldier is maybe a better movie.
Yeah.
This is definitely, at points, more fun than Winter Soldier.
This is kind of your reward for sitting through like a lot of fucking movies. So yeah, I guess that's it. Everyone should see this one. I actually plan to probably pick it up when it comes out, and I want to get... Captain America one day too. Get at least those two on Blu-ray. I went and saw a movie that you saw last week.
Yep.
And that movie is Green Room. I agree with pretty much everything you had to say about it. It's great. I loved it. I think I loved it even more than you. I'd go full 5 stars on it.
Okay.
I don't know what to really add to it, except that I really loved, like, the danger of it, like, where it really was that nobody was safe and that people could die at any moment without any, like, without a moment's notice. I think the movie kind of establishes that at some point pretty quickly. Pretty much very, like, once they get stuck in the green room, from there on, like, they let you know that pretty much anything could happen. It's pure anarchy. The violence also is pretty damn shocking. Another early point when someone gets slit open, I was like, whoa. Really caught off guard by it. There was one part where I actually was like out loud, like, whoa. And that was, I guess to say it without spoilers, is someone gets their face blown off. Do you remember that part, Chris?
I'm trying to think, like, one of the band members?
No.
Hmm.
Somebody else. You think, like, okay, they're about to get out of the situation. This guy's going to help them. And you're thinking, like, oh, everything's
going
to be good.
Oh, yes, yes. When they're going for the shotgun. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like, you're thinking, okay, this is, like, their way out. Like, you know, things are going to, like, they're going to start to take the upper hand now. And right in the middle of, it just plays with your expectations. You're expecting, okay, they're going to get the shotgun, this is going to happen, and that falls apart so unexpectedly and in such shocking fashion.
Totally. I mean, they kill off who you think is the strong character.
Yeah.
Like, pretty early on.
Yeah, yeah, that too, yeah.
And then they kill off the one I thought next would have been, like, the next strongest of them. Was she the bassist? The girl member of the band.
Oh, I was very upset when she got killed too.
Yeah, because I thought she was great.
This is a girl from Arrested Development. I always kind of liked her, and she gets killed. I'm like, God damn it!
Super shocking too.
Yeah,
like, it's like, all right, they're gonna oh. And yeah, it's like all the deaths are brutal.
Yeah, the violence is just very brutal and shocking, and yeah, I just really like, this is a hardcore, just badass movie that, you know, kind of takes no prisoners, and anything can happen, and I loved it about it, and it just kept going more and more crazy as it went in its brief running time. Like, I was just like buzzing with joy coming out of that movie. It's pretty much everything that I want when I go to the movies, like, at least out of, like, a thriller or, like, an action movie. It's just fantastic. And Patrick Stewart was great in it. I liked Anton Yelchin in it. Like, everyone did a good job. And it was nice and brief and awesome.
Yeah, so. 90 minutes long. Like, there's very little filler in there at all.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it does take a little bit of setup. Like, you know, it's a half hour, 40 minutes before things get moving. But once they do, like, it's nonstop.
And I was never really bored in the setup either. Because as soon as they get to this club, you're just kind of on edge the whole time with them. You're like, right. Ah, these people are skeevy. I do love how they played some song like it was like Nazi punks fuck off or something.
Right.
Like this crowd.
Just trying to antagonize them. Like.
Yeah. Which they probably, you know, I guess that didn't really play into it, but, you know. I don't know. One more thing I could touch on about this movie. I like how they don't over-explain anything. I think a lesser movie would have tried to really over-explain who these Nazis are and what the red laces are.
Yeah, so you don't need it. Like, yeah. In fact, them being like, you could swap out any ideology.
Yeah.
And put them in there. Like, it just happened. Like, Nazis and skinheads are kind of very iconic, like they have an iconic look. It's something very easy to latch onto. But you could have swapped it out with, you know, just about any sort of gang or something.
Yeah, it's just I love that there's no exposition. Instead of explaining what the red laces are, they just throw it in there and they respect you enough to figure it out. You know what I mean? It's one of the things I like about this director is that, and the fact that he just doesn't care about following rules. You know, like, oh, this guy comes in, he's gonna be the savior. That's like how this has to play out. Nope. Like anything could happen in his movies, and that's kind of exciting. So yeah, I really loved it. I will be buying this one on Blu-ray. It will be in my top 10 of the year for sure, and I think it will be pretty high on this list. This came out of nowhere, and it's great. And I had to drive a half hour to go see it. If you have a theater near you that you could go see it at, go see it while it's still out there, because I think it doesn't come out on Blu-ray till June or July. So
Really, I mean
that's not too long
actually
of a
not
wait.
that far
Yeah,
off.
that's not bad. But I want to say maybe it's July, but even then, that's still not. You know, it's like a 3 month turnover. But if it's still out there by you, this is like run out and go see it. It's great, really good.
It's kind of a shame if this movie's only made about $2.5 million, so.
It's kind of ridiculous. I really feel like if they would have put more into like the marketing of it or something, that they could have had a pretty big hit on their hands. I don't know,
And
not though. It might be a little too nihilistic and just brutal for an average
I mean,
mainstream.
like the company that put this out there, like recently put out The Witch, and they put out Ex Machina last year. Like they did Spring Breakers. Like they've never, like their biggest movie obviously has only made $25 million at the box office, but you would have thought like, hey, like this is something you can. You could kind of play off Patrick Stewart's celebrity here at least and try and pull people in, but they didn't really
Yeah.
release it anywhere.
Yeah, I really love in the studio though. They're like really good at these like people trapped in a room movies, or just like really small movies, like kind of one location and it's just a couple characters, you know. But this one, I don't know, dude. I really loved it, and it's been a while since I've seen Blue Rune, but I know I don't remember Blue Rune that much at all. But I love this one way more. Like this is, I fucking loved it. So I don't know. I'm kind of rambling on about it, but just kind of seconding everything you said last week. It's a great thriller, and a brutal movie that people need to check out. Maybe not so necessary. We both also saw Sisters. You
Amy
just saw it,
Poehler,
didn't you?
Tina Fey. I think not necessary is probably the right word. Like, don't take that to mean that there's not things that are funny about it. And like, there are some really strong dialogue at points, but it's just kind of a nothing film. Like.
It's Tina Fey and Amy Poehler goofing off for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's really kind of what it is.
With their
And
friends.
yeah.
Like they brought in like people that they've worked with in the past and like their actual personal friends and put them in this movie, and it's a really simple story. Like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler play sisters, even though they don't really look anything like each other. But they are called by their parents who are selling their childhood home and told like, hey, you got to come and clean your shit out. And it flips these two all out a little bit, and they go and have a party.
Yeah,
Like,
the plot is, I
super
think
thin.
it's super. I think it's stupid. Like it's a dumb idea, but it's all just an excuse to get to this party and to have like a party slash like drug comedy thing. And it's just, I don't know. Like we just saw The Night Before, which, while I think we both said it's a bit uneven. Like the highs in The Night Before, I think, are higher than the highs here. Like this is just. It's not as funny or memorable as stuff like the church scene in The Night Before or any of that. Like I feel like that movie had like a real heart and soul to it, and this is just kind of them having fun, and some of it's kind of funny. Like John Cena's
John
kind of
Cena's
funny.
Great.
He's always like that guy just needs to be like put in every comedy. I don't know. He's fucking hilarious.
Like he was like great as this drug dealer kind of guy. Like when he's going through all the drugs that he has. He has like a tackle box and he's like he has all this different shit. And I thought Bobby Moynihan, who played like the weird like
the guy that wanted to be funny all the time.
Yeah, but he ends up taking like this new drug, I guess.
I think it was coke or something.
It was like some sort of mix. It was like coke and ecstasy and a bunch of shit mixed. Like John Leguizamo's character like tells what's actually in it like at one point. But yeah, he takes this shit and like, he takes it all.
And it's like a running gag through the whole movie.
Yeah. Like, I thought he was actually pretty funny. Like, anytime he came by, because it would just be weird. Like, just run by. And towards the end, he's like drawing with his dick on a wall.
For whatever reason, I loved when he was trying to, like, basically play charades with people or whatever. He's like, what am I doing? And he was doing Scarface.
Scarface.
Like, he just kept telling himself, like, this isn't, I forgot what he was saying. It was something like, It's just some sweetener or whatever. It's I don't know what I kept saying something. And you can tell he's just like drugged out of his mind, like high as a kite. Like, he's just flipping out. He can't control himself.
Well, like I thought, all right, like that's it. Like that's the end of it. But then they keep it running for the rest of the movie. It's like at one point he's like crawled into the cabinets.
Does he like bust out of the wall?
He busts through the wall.
Yeah.
I thought he was actually really funny.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just the movie. It's just not super memorable. It doesn't feel like it doesn't have like a really strong heart or center to it because the main setup for the story is just dumb. Like it's just unbelievable. That who cares? You know, I don't know. I don't know. I guess maybe some people will be like, "Oh no, my childhood home." I don't know. And then it's just like the whole angle of Tina Fey is always the party animal.
Right. There's a lot for a movie that has such a thin plot. There's like a lot of bullshit going on here. Like, so like Tina Fey's character is kind of a mess. She's like the bad sister. She was always the partier. And Amy Poehler, who's the younger sister, was always what they call her, the party mom. She's the one that always like stayed sober at the parties, made sure everyone was okay, and they decide, I guess, they're gonna swap places here.
Yeah, it's like the swapping of roles or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. It's fun. I'd say worth the rental, but it's nothing.
Yeah, don't go in like expecting the best comedy from these two. Like,
yeah, I think they've done better stuff. And for me, it's for someone who, like, I really love, like, kind of, like, drug movies and party movies, like, for me to walk away and say, it's okay, you know, I somehow they missed the mark a little bit, despite the fact that it is often kind of funny. I'm going 3 on it.
That's where I'm at with it. Like, it's okay. Like, but, yeah, it's totally forgettable, like. Some of the stuff in it's funny, but it's a little too goofy, maybe. And they don't play up some of the storylines. Like they had a really great opportunity with like the people who were buying the house, like, and all that really leads to is them like making the water blue, like the people. Because some of their interactions with them are really, really funny. It's like they, when Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are like talking directly to them, like very, like some great sarcastic dialogue. But then, like the end of it, it's just like, all right, well, we fucked up them buying the house, and they brought some blue paint over, so that was for a sight gag.
Yeah.
And then, like, the whole thing with the daughter. So much wasted opportunity here.
Yeah, it could have definitely been a lot better. But, I mean, if you, like, really like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, it's fun to watch those two goof off. Yeah. I think even in a bad movie, it's I think they're just so likable that I don't know. I had an okay time with it, but it's not one I could strongly recommend, and it's not one I'm gonna probably remember much longer.
No. So.
Well, that wraps up all the new movies that we saw in the last week. But I mean, is there then anything else that you've watched?
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, there's that. I'm starting to already sour on this season again. Like,
really?
Like, I don't know. Nothing, like, I've said it before, it's just not living up to the earlier seasons. Like, it feels like they, like, ran out of all the big moments that, like, I guess were established in the books, and they're kind of feels like they don't know what they're doing now. Like, they don't know where they want it to go exactly.
I mean, they've said there's only two more seasons. Like, I think they know exactly where they want it to go.
They have stated for sure it's going to end, what, with season
eight?
Yeah. That's a bit too long.
But the next two seasons are only going to be, like, six or seven episodes apiece. So they're not even going to be – it's not even going to be a full 20 more episodes after this. And they're still, like the George R. R. Martin is still writing – book six, he still has another book planned after that, and possibly another book after that. There's a lot.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the hell happened in the last episode, honestly. It's just, I remember Jon Snow's back.
Jon Snow's back. Rickon Stark is now in the hands of Ramsay.
But I did not even remember who that character was.
He's the youngest Stark.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time we saw him or anything.
Well, remember, Bran wasn't on at all in season five, and they split up when they got to the wall. When I think Sam helped them get to the wall in season four, get through the wall, and that's where Rickon and Osha, the wildling nanny that they kind of had, where she took Rickon away, and so we haven't seen him in 2 years.
Yeah, I was just like, who? What is this?
he's the youngest Stark lord. So
I don't know. It could easily turn itself around. Like, we're only three episodes into the season.
Well, I think that whole thing, that's all. Big setup too. Like, I think the guy who handed him over is setting up Ramsay to take him out.
Oh yeah, maybe. I don't know. I guess the thing is with Game of Thrones, you expect these like really big moments where you're just like, whoa. And there's just, I don't feel like there's been any of that yet so far. So I don't know. Like, there hasn't been a lot where like I go to work the next day and like, there's not much to talk about. Like, yeah, did you see Game of Thrones last night? Yeah, that part was okay. You
know. Yeah, I mean, they're moving some stuff. It's just like some of it is really tediously boring. It's like, nobody cares about the Daenerys storyline right now. Like, please stop focusing any time on her.
Yeah, her.
It's terrible.
I'm kind of still like, what's going on with Arya? Like, also, strangely, there's been no Littlefinger this season.
Yeah.
At all, right? Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'd maybe I'm not going to write it off three episodes into this season. And if they do have an end point now already in mind, I'm going to stick with the series and see what I think of it all. But to me, it was just like seasons three and four were just really great, especially season four. And I just since then, I've just been kind of watching because I've been watching so long and I like the characters and stuff. But it's not giving me those big Game of Thrones moments that I've been expecting. Like, even when they like killed Jon Snow at the end of last season, I didn't really care because I don't find him all that interesting. And then when they brought him back, I was just like, everyone knew it was coming. Like, it was not a huge shock that he came back. Like,
well, I did find it like a little. I mean, him coming back wasn't a shock. We knew that, but I did find it a little shocking that he left. Like, he abandoned, oh, yeah, no, he abandoned the wall.
That's what happened at the end of the last
episode. Yeah, he, like, I mean, their
And it's.
words are that, you know, your watch ends when you die. Well, he died,
Oh,
so
yeah, so
he's
he's
done.
good to go. Yeah.
Well, like, I guess legitimately, he's like,
He's not leaving just the commander, like he's leaving, right? Like,
he's not, he's left the Night's Watch. He's done.
it's interesting too because Sansa's heading that way, isn't she?
She's heading to the wall, yeah.
Yeah, she
So there, I mean,
loves.
there's a possibility of them linking up. I think what you'll see is that there's a lot of theories going on, but there's a possibility that Rob actually legitimized John. Like, you know how Ramsay was legitimized by Roose Bolton, because John's a bastard,
Yeah.
but that he may have legitimized him and that would allow him to be like the leader of the Starks.
Go back and take Winterfell, maybe?
Yeah.
I would love to see fucking Jon Snow lay the smack down on Ramsay. I just want to see Ramsay get his comeuppance.
I think
It's
you
gotta
will. I
happen.
think it'll happen this year too. So there's only what, seven more episodes, so.
Yeah, but it's I just we're running out of villains on the show, really. Like it used to be like the Lannisters and the Starks, and now there's just so many.
I mean,
A lot of them are dead.
there's still a good amount of villains though. Cersei is still out there, like
Yeah, but she needs to like
she,
come back or whatever. You know, they're kind of on the ropes, it seems like lately.
and I mean, you got the High Septon. He's playing political games, and they're still out there. It's just like they're more ambiguous. Everyone is kind of. I guess there were, like, you know, Tywin was definitely like, all right, this guy's kind of, he's a little bit of a dick.
There was a lot of people to like root
Joffrey's a dick,
against. Yeah.
like.
You got to love to hate Joffrey, you know, and Tywin. And now it's like those two are gone. It's not as much. I don't really
Littlefinger hasn't
hate.
made an appearance, like.
I don't really hate Cersei as much as, you know, like Joffrey was like pure evil. Like, whereas Cersei is like, you kind of get where she's coming from sometimes. I don't know.
I don't know. She fucked her brother. Like,
There's that.
I guess
It was a
that's where you're
mutual
coming
thing.
from. Oh yeah, I'm not like. He certainly wasn't like, oh no, don't do this. Like, he was in on it too. Like, but she's actually softened a little bit this year,
Yeah,
which
she's got more
is
sympathy for him.
upsetting. I want her to be angry, vindictive. So I guess she's getting back to that. Like, she has the mountain there to go and bash people's heads in the walls. That was pretty gross. Was that the beginning of this episode?
Where the dude, I think that might have been the last
The
one. I
last
don't
episode.
know. I know what you're talking about.
The beginning of this episode was Qyburn giving the kids candy. That was
That
weird.
guy is like the mountain reincarnated, right? Like,
Yeah, he brought him back. He's like
yeah.
Frankenstein.
He did die in that fight, right?
Eventually, yeah, from poison.
Oh yeah, they're setting up a like a trial by combat, aren't they?
Well, that because Cersei will have to stand before trial.
Yeah, and she goes, "I want to try out by combat or
Right.
whatever."
So they'll lay out her charges, and then the mountain will be her. I wonder how that'll play out.
He'll probably murder whoever they put up.
But
I kind of do like these. What's that religious group called?
the sparrows.
Yeah, I kind of like the conflict that has been created within King's Landing over that. Like, just how the people who are supposed to be in charge of King's Landing are kind of like being held hostage by
Hold
this
up,
religious
and
group.
it's because like
Because of Cersei,
Cersei, she
she gave
fucked
him
up. She
power.
gave them the power, and like she reinstated laws that had been taken off the books, and now everything's fucked.
I do kind of like really enjoy that angle, but I like with everything else in the series, I just wanted to see it start moving a little faster. I don't know, like it's.
I could see that.
I still look forward to it every Sunday, that's for sure. But yeah, no other movies or anything that you saw within the last.
No, I'm gonna try and go out and see is it Money Monster?
Oh yeah.
The one with George Clooney and Julia Roberts. It's a hostage thing, like it's a hostage takeover in a newsroom type thing.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about
Looks
it, but
interesting.
I guess I'll wait and hear what you have to say. As far as in theaters, I don't know that I have anything coming up that I'm just happy I got to go see Green Room. I was like, yes, I found it.
Yeah, it's a little bit quiet, like at the box office, so.
There's gonna be a couple of weeks, and then we're gonna have X-Men.
Yeah, X-Men's in 2 weeks, so.
There's a lot that's gonna, come down the pipeline in the summer. For next week, I'm hoping to see Michael Moore's new film, Where to Invade Next.
Okay.
It's available now on Netflix, but it is at a short wait at the moment, so we'll see. And then I'm doing some homework. My next three movies after that are Neighbors, The Conjuring, and Finding Nemo.
Okay.
Prepping for the summer movie season where we get sequels to all these films. So, I've never seen any of them, so I'm looking forward to seeing them all, actually. They all look pretty good to me. Well, Neighbors I thought looked stupid, but now I hear it's not that bad. And, I don't know. I like Seth Rogen, so.
It can be funny.
Yeah,
I
so
like that.
that's that. I'll get to some of those by next week. Not sure if
Yeah.
anything in the theater for me though.
I might try and see Money Monster, and maybe I'll catch up on Netflix or Amazon. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there could be stuff out there. I haven't seen anything lately, but
I still got to finish Daredevil too, so.
yeah, you should do that.
I
That'd
got
be
up to
good.
the electric. I've said it twice now. The Electra stuff, and it was like it kind of it dies off a little bit. Like once she shows up, but like this is not as interesting as when the Punisher was out there.
I think there's one really dumb episode where it's like kind of like a romance between them two. I think it picks up again after that, and she's pretty badass, so I liked her. I don't know. I liked that season as it went on. There was a weak episode or two, and I think that's kind of the problem with that show is it's
It goes
not
13 episodes instead of
yeah.
maybe 10.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't need to be an hour either. I don't know, but
Yep, you could do that. You could do that in 40 minutes and
yeah.
maybe tell the story you need.
But yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Everyone go see, if you haven't seen Civil War, go check it out. And if you have the opportunity to go see Green Room, make
Yeah,
a point
certainly.
of going to see that movie.
And you could skip Sisters.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's okay.
All right, I guess we'll be back next weekend.
Yes, sir.
Movie dudes.
Dudes. Do 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 do.